Man. From Learfield on the Gopher Sports Network, this is Gopher Basketball Weekly with Richard Pitino, brought to you by Subway, the official training restaurant of Gopher Athletics, and by the 2019 Nissan Rogue, one solid defender. Nissan, proud supporter of college athletics. Now, Gopher Basketball Weekly with Richard Pitino. Here are your hosts, Justin Gard and the voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm.
Hey, it's our first edition of Gopher Basketball Weekly with head coach Richard Pitino, Mike Grimm, along with Justin Gard, and we are thrilled you're with us here on the Gopher Radio Network. The Golden Gopher football team, of course, the big win over the weekend. Their regular season is done, so we transition from football into basketball from last Tuesday to this Tuesday. We'll likely have a PJ Fleck show at some point in the month of December leading into whatever bowl game the Golden Gophers will be invited to. We'll find all of that out this weekend, likely on Sunday night into Monday. Guardsy, good to see you.
Good to be seen. You made it back from Boston in one piece, so yeah. That's good. You got in late last night. It's great. We get to do a... They win the first five games of the year. No radio show. They lose to Boston College. Let's do a radio show.
Next day.
Let's put the head coach in the meat grinder right out of the gate.
Get in at 3 a.m. and then have your show the next day at noon. And... he's not here yet.
Funny.
His first show of the year.
He's ducking the question.
So our question, I think, Gargi, you can ask him. I'm not going to.
Okay.
Is what would happen if a player showed up late to practice today?
I don't like when we do that.
Yeah.
But you're right. He'd probably be running killers.
Yeah.
I don't know if our guy Richard could run any killers at this point. But anyway, I don't know.
He probably could. I think he's young enough, energetic enough. He could run a killer or two. We're in a room here on campus. We could make him run wall to wall a couple of times.
You've had a pretty good stretch here. I mean, you were in Vancouver last week.
Yeah.
Then we went to Madison, got the axe for the first time in our radio careers on the Gopher Radio Network,
yeah.
And then you shot right out to Boston. But you've got to watch some good basketball. Maybe not last night quite as much with some of the shooting, but good trip to Vancouver, it
seemed
like.
Yeah, and three wins out there. I was concerned about the game last night for a couple of reasons, and I know people don't like to hear it, and yes, there's charter travel and all of this, but you go from the West Coast back home, then you have the holiday where you eat and don't practice. If you're, you know, there was no practice on Thursday, a little bit on Friday, and then you fly out Sunday. There were some flight issues, and it's the first road game for some of these, and it was not a hostile environment. We know that. It was not. 2,500, 3,000 yeah. folks at that game.
There's not
night.
Eagle fever in Boston right now.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet. But that said, it still is the first road game. And in an 8,000-seat building, when there's 3,000 people and they do get loud, I think it for a moment had an impact on some of those guys. And so with all of that factored in, plus they were a one-point underdog, I thought that it was a game that was going to be a little dangerous. And as it turned out, the Boston College Eagles got the better end of it, winning last night. That final score was 68-56. Hey, look who showed up to his first coach's show of the season. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's a great circumstances. Happy to be
yeah,
here.
Yeah,
that's what we said.
Nothing better. You rattle off five in a row, no show, and then first show, you get in at 3 in the morning, and here you are the next day at noon ready to go with the coach's show. Guardsy was wanting to ask you a question about if a player was late to practice today, as you've been late now for your show, what would the punishment be for the player?
You know, it's funny. I always talk about this. Whenever a player is late, the adults really, really shame the kid. I mean, they talk so bad about him. But I have it all the time. Assistants are late. Sorry, coach did this. Or, you know, so the adults are worse than the kids.
That's fair. Right?
Quite yeah. often.
Well, that's because they weren't held accountable as children. You have a chance to change all of this.
So we're blaming their parents? Is that what
I think that's what we're doing,
I think
yeah.
he's blaming your parents.
Or are you blaming like Ed today. Conroy's parents?
probably Conroy's parents, I think.
Well, really, but I hired Ed, so it's probably my parents' fault.
Yeah.
And then it's probably my grandparents' fault right. as well. So yeah. the blame keeps going on.
We're just glad you're here.
Yeah,
we're glad you came.
Here.
Yeah, we all are.
Well, not a pretty second half last night. It was a game of runs in the first half, and they finished with a run to go up one. And then a lot of open shots. I know we're watching the film on the flight home last night. What did you see after you obviously you watch it with your own live eyes, and then you see it on tape? What kind of stuff?
I went back and I charted every shot, because when you miss shots, it's are we doing something X and O-wise that we need to do better? Are we taking bad shots? And I looked at 26 missed shots that I thought were good shots that we were 0 for 26 on. We missed a couple dunks that were yep. right there. We missed a couple layups right there by the basket. I thought 7 of 8 Dupree's misses were wide open. Good shots. You know, what we need to do, you know, strategically, I do think is, you know, as those shots are not falling, you've got to find a way to get something else. The problem was we weren't posting up as physically because I think Daniel lost his confidence a little bit. Murph was in and out of foul trouble, so we weren't able to go into him as much. So I just think it was a, you know, a litany of things that were going wrong throughout the course of the game, and we weren't able to figure out how to, A, get better defensively, because I don't know if we're going to be a great shooting team. I would assume that we're not. I don't think we're a bad shooting team. I do think that they're last night, it is what it is. We didn't make all open shots. Need to find a way to take a couple better shots, but we got to be a great defensive team. We've got to find a way to be a great defensive team.
And Popovich in the second half, I mean, 9
looked like Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's like guy plays 2 minutes in the first half and comes off the bench. They only missed, I think, 3 or 4 2-point attempts in the second half, but he was 9 for 9. And I don't, what was the pick and roll or what was happening?
No, they were posting him up.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a good lesson for Daniel. You know, he was frustrated. And when you get in foul trouble, you have Eric out. It's hard because, you know, he's having some freshman moments. You want to get him off the court, but there's nothing you could do. So it was just one of those games where everything that could have gone wrong seemed to go wrong. You know, obviously their zone bothered us. I thought what we did versus Washington to hurt them, we got away from. I thought we were really, really good against Washington of looking inside of the post. And I do think that, you know, Daniel kind of stopped physically posting up because he missed a couple of those chippies. You know, Murph, when he was in there, was good, but he was just in and out so much. You know, so we need to not overthink it too much. We just need to find a way to get that offensive flow a little bit better, but continue to improve defensively.
And it's interesting, JG and I were talking before the show, if in today's game, because the three-point shot has become such a big weapon, if you tell a coach ahead of time, I'm going to get you 30 threes, the coach would probably say, that's probably too many. But 26 are going to be wide-open looks. I think most coaches would say, we'll take it.
Well,
right?
So
if that's the end of the day.
By my account, so it's a good point because I thought about it too. Well, the analytics say, you know, layups or dunks, free throws, and then catch and shoot threes. Well, I thought we shot 12 really good threes. And we shot 33. So, you know, the other ones were not as good. But, you know, it's funny when you think about it felt like we were far off, but we really were not that far off, from finding a way to make this a close game. But we just couldn't knock down an open shot. We couldn't knock down an open layup. And it's really, really hard to produce when you do that. You know, so there were some points on the board. We're not far off. You know, Boston College is a good team, well coached. They're at home. You know, a million different excuses that you can make, but at the end of the day, we didn't make shots, and it's really, really hard. But we gotta find a way to regroup, get our confidence back.
You mentioned Daniel maybe being frustrated. Just from where I was watching, which was home, it seemed like there was a collective frustration almost that shots weren't falling, and they were making a lot of big shots. Could you feel that as well? I mean, what's the key to getting through that frustration?
Oh,
just
no,
playing through it.
No doubt.
Everybody seemed tight once the shots weren't falling.
Yeah, and you know what? Instead of, hey, it's not falling, let's drive, you know, get in the lane, go inside. It was, I want to shoot another one, make it so that I get the weight of the world off my shoulders. Then we can all resume the game, you know, and that was definitely prevalent. You know, so, and I think foul trouble definitely bothered us. You know, Murphy is a very, very, very productive player. He was in and out. You know, we couldn't get him in a flow to where, we could get him the ball. And when we went on that stretch where we weren't scoring, he was out of the game. You know, and so it's, it is what it is. We just got to, watch the film, learn from it, see where we're taking good ones, see where we're taking bad ones, and then just prepare for Oklahoma State.
Yeah, and when Murphy was on the floor against Washington, against that zone, and certainly last night, he was a very effective, almost used as a passer. There's the short corner, as they say, come out, and he was finding people. But when he's not on the floor, that takes another weapon.
Yeah,
away, you know.
Yeah, when he's not on the court, he can't be an effective passer.
He cannot be.
I'm going to write that down. That's good.
But you know, we're finding with your starting center out, you're a man down. You need to find a way to be more intelligent with your fouls.
Right.
Daniel's first foul, he did not rotate properly, and he tries to block a shot late.
Nor did he touch the guy.
I don't think he touched him either, but you know what? As a coach, you look at how is he playing, and he wasn't playing the right way.
No, correct.
You know, I thought that Jordan Murphy's, you know, we can argue about those, you know, but we just got to be smarter with our fouls. You know, Jarvis had one where he just stepped out and just shoved a guy off the down screen for no rhyme or reason. You know, but freshman, first game on the road, you know, still a long way to go with everything. And, you know, them playing these minutes right now are good for them.
Well, Daniel and Jordan, I'm sure, obviously I'm not breaking any news, but one of the cool things this season, I think, has been how well those two are already working off of each other in terms of passing out of double teams. They seem to already have a nice chemistry, but if one or both of them are in foul trouble, that's really not going to matter.
Yeah, you know, from a zone offense attack, because, you know, fans love to, what are you doing zone offense? Well, you have to think about who's on the court. Well, if we're not hitting threes and we can't get that inside, you know, short corner to the basket, finish at the rim, right, what are you really going to do? You know, so there's definitely some things schematically that I need to do better. You know, but with Jordan being out, I agree with you versus Washington. I mean, we were really, really effective doing those things. And if you're not going to hit outside shots, that's what you need to do. So, you know, we've got to find a way to keep one of our best players on the court in Jordan Murphy, and you know, figure out what he's doing wrong and just rebound from it.
Eric Kerr, you've mentioned him a couple of times, and I doubt there's much of an update, but what can you tell us in terms of what his...
I don't know. I mean, I know he's not going to play Friday. Other than that, I'm not really sure. You know, so I think it, you know, it's a day-by-day type of thing. So I think we'll reevaluate after the off day and see where he's at.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's take our first break here on our first show of the season. We'll come back. We'll preview Friday's game at U.S. Bank Stadium and a whole bunch more. Stay with us. It's Gopher Basketball Weekly with Richard Pitino from Learfield.
The Abbott Fund, the foundation of the globe.
Welcome back. It's Gopher Basketball Weekly with head coach Richard Pitino. Our first show of the year, Mike Grimm along with Justin Gard. We're thrilled that you're with us here. As the Gophers now look ahead to Friday in a unique situation, U.S. Bank Stadium, the Viking Stadium downtown, will host the Gophers in Oklahoma State on Friday. 9 o'clock is the tip-off. We'll take air here on the network at 8:30. And a unique basketball weekend, because there'll be a Division III game before the Gophers play. It'll be Wisconsin River Falls against St. Thomas. And then the next day will be, I'm not sure who matches up with who, but it's a couple of the
Dakotas. There's multiple Dakota schools. Yeah, and Drake and Northern Iowa. Yeah,
and that will be on a Saturday, but kind of a unique experience for your guys. I would think even the Minnesota natives would especially get kind of a kick out of playing on the Vikings field there.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, you know, I wish we weren't playing at 9 o'clock, but yeah. You know, I think that actually may be a good thing for our fans to, you know, be able to go out to eat and then come, you know, do a unique environment. I look at more than anything, this is a really good opponent. You know, this is an opponent that was getting better. They got 9 new guys. Play very, very similar to Illinois. He's an assistant of Illinois, so they're going to get out in the passing lanes. They're going to really take you out of your offense. You know, so we've got to get our heads right. You know, we've got to get in that gym. You know, that's the other thing, too. That's a different shooting background. So we'll be able to get in there Thursday. But it's a fun environment. You know, I like playing our home games at the barn, but this will be a unique environment, and it's a quality, quality opponent.
What's it like going through this stretch of quality opponents pretty early in the season when you're still trying to figure things out? In December, you're going to have a string of games at Williams Arena, but you're kind of all over the place. What are the challenges or opportunities in managing all of that?
Well, having Eric Curry out makes us substantially younger. So then when you're doing this with young players, it's hard. You know, going to Vancouver was awesome.
Yeah.
Obviously, we won 3 games. I mean, if we were in anywhere and we win 3 games, it doesn't matter.
Great trip.
Love it.
Yeah.
But then we come back. Then we have major flight issues going Sunday night. And, you know, these things shouldn't be a factor, you know, but they add up. And that's what's hard, is when you're constantly on a plane or you're in a hotel and you're not getting a reprieve of your dorm, you know, and the reprieve of the home court. It's difficult. And, you know, so many of those factors do add up, you know, but they're not We're not going to use them as excuses. Some people can use them as excuses, but we're not going to do that. We got to be able to fight through because everybody deals with that.
Well, especially early, everybody's going all over the place now, right?
Everybody's going all over.
Yeah.
And, you know, like even Boston College, like, wasn't a great environment by any means, but they had the benefit of sleeping in their own beds and getting in their routine. And those are things that, you know, younger players like Daniel, Jarvis, Gabe, newer guys like Brock and Monts, they've got to be able to figure it out and still be able to produce.
So with that in mind, you've got the U.S. Bank game. Then like 10 minutes after that, you go to Columbus and then come back and play. You know, you've got two Big Ten games with Nebraska here next week. So what's this week look like along making sure guys are getting rest and reprieve and all of those things? Because it's kind of a weird stretch coming up here now towards the end of the week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I could sit here and complain about it not being fair. And, you know, it's really not. But again, what does it matter? You know, they're not going to change it for me if I complain a lot. So I try to lock in on the things that are important. So I'm going to focus on Oklahoma State and then we'll regroup. You know, it's always tough with the one day, that travel day. What's hard is, you know, I'd like to place blame on somebody, but you really can't because you don't know when you're playing the Big Ten games.
Right.
We knew we'd play Sunday. We asked for a home game. Shockingly, they didn't adhere to my request. So we wanted to be able to play Friday night here and then give us our home game, and then we'll play on the road. For whatever reason, it didn't work out. And there's so many variables to it. I don't think anyone's trying to screw Minnesota by any means. Everybody's going to be upset at some point in their schedule. So for us, it's take the day off today, regroup. And then just really, really focus in hard. You know, it's a couple of days to prepare for an Oklahoma State who plays a different, unique style, that we probably haven't seen yet this year.
The other angle on that too, and I think this is probably true. It's not unique to your team, but in this early, when you're traveling and doing all this stuff, you guys need practice time early in the year, particularly when you're working in new guys. I mean, how many in the last 10 or 12 days have you had a good 90 minute session where you can get down and dirty and practice?
Yeah. You know, and it's, again, you guys are like teeing me up to make excuses, and then it's like, and then the fans get mad at you. But, you know,
we're doing that intentionally.
But I think that there's an expression. Don't ever underestimate how messed up, there's a different word for it, but your opponent is. And every team deals with
something,
little things.
Right.
Like Dupree was gone for a day and a half to go visit his mother up in New York, who we're praying for. And then he gets on an early train Monday because he wants to get back for shoot around. So that's an extra variable there. You know, flying across country, a flight that was supposed to take off at 2, we get to the airport at 1. There's no plane.
At 9, basically.
There's no plane. You know, we're looking on the tarmac for a plane and there is no plane.
I feel like that needs to be on gophersports.com, like the all access things you guys like to do, you know, when you get shoot around videos and, you know, pregame speeches and all of that. We should do one of those where you just show up to the airport and there's no plane.
Yeah, I just
and
always.
How the head coach handles it and how the play by play guy handles it. That's what people want to see.
You know, the more I'm head coach, we get scrutinized so much, and the littlest mistake, we get crushed. I want to do like a reality TV show where like this charter flight that didn't have a plane, like I want to be able to hop on a
message
board and Twitter and just crush them.
Yeah. You used to get on the charter company.
Charter company message boards and just absolutely obliterate
them.
They
do, I'm sure, have a travel blog somewhere about the charter companies. Yeah. But that's your sign. You're a Seinfeld guy.
Seinfeld, yeah. It's like when they said, you know, anyone can make a reservation. It's about holding the reservation. But, you know, I mean, honestly, though, basketball travels a lot, so we're dealing with a lot of trips. Things happen out of our control. We've got to be able to overcome those things, you know, and just figure it out. Because, like, you can sit there and make excuse. It does not matter. What matters is win or lose, and we lost.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny that you see, you know, college basketball right now, all these teams are going through this, traveling to Cancun or to Orlando or the Bahamas or wherever. And these early season tournaments, I think, are great, but then it doesn't allow you to have a lot of practice time. So some games are ugly, and people, oh, what's wrong with this team? And every coach I interviewed from the other team is like, well, it's early and we're still trying to find ourselves. And eventually some of these teams, you know, come January, will finally get into where they want to be.
And we're all trying to beef up our, you know, our non-conference schedules, you know, because, you know, we're all trying to get the NCAA tournament and they've put a premium on that. And I do think that a lot of these early season games are good, but they're not good. Like that Champions Classic, which is Michigan State and Kansas versus Kentucky and Duke.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like seeing those games first night of college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Because those guys, especially with the one and dones, they're brand new.
They had like 20 practices.
They're not very good. You know, I'd rather see those things like right before Christmas. Give them some time to get better. You know, so those are little things. But we're all trying to get better and find a way to win. That's the beauty of Vancouver was we were not great, and we found a way to beat Texas A&M and Washington, who were quality wins. You know, Utah is young. They got a lot of new guys. Hopefully they get better. You know, you always got to root for the teams you beat.
Right.
How do you feel six games? I mean, we spent a lot of time on last night, but there were five games before that. We haven't had a chance really to visit about any of them. I know post-game you get to do it with Grimmer. I know you always look forward to doing that. I heard a couple in Vancouver that were especially good conversations.
Yeah. A dinner reservation.
That's what it sounded like, but that's all right. But how do you feel? You know,
and a flight to catch.
From what you thought you were going to be, you know, obviously with the Curry thing happening before the season, kind of thought where you would be six games in. How do you feel relative to before the year?
Right now, I feel tired.
Yeah.
You know, because we got in at about three, and I always get on Jill about you never let me sleep in because I always get up with the kids, and you know, I was really getting a good deep sleep, and then my son Jack, who's 4 years old, runs in and says, "Daddy, mommy's throwing up." So that was a nice little 6:30 deal.
Yeah.
But my
2-year-old threw up on me last night right before bedtime. It was tremendous.
It's unbelievable.
It's terrific. It's a rewarding experience.
Yeah. So, you know, truthfully, from six games in, I'm pretty excited that we've been able to, with our starting center out, be able to stack up some quality wins versus Washington, A&M, Utah. I mean, you know, because we've got five new faces. And I've always said in order for our team to be really good, the core guys of Michael, Amir, Dupree, Eric Curry, who'd have to be healthy, those guys, and then Isaiah, I'm sure I'm missing out guys or whatever, but those need to be the guys. Well, Eric gets hurt. Dupree's going through something very personal. So we've got to be able to, you know, kind of find a way to weather the adversity as well as get better. But sitting at 5-1 after six games, pretty happy with it. Not happy with the way we played last night. But you just got to turn the page, and you've got to, you know, because when you don't play great and you win, everybody will listen to you. When you lose, the text messages start coming, right? The phone starts buzzing. The noise starts coming. You know, the parents, the fans, the coaches, they all start, you know, that's where as a coach in your locker room, you got to keep them really, really tight. And I think we do a good job of that.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll keep talking Gopher basketball. It is Gopher Basketball Weekly with Richard Pitino from Learfield.
From the Holiday Station Stores Traffic Center, here's a look.
Welcome back. It's Gopher Basketball Weekly with head coach Richard Pitino, Mike Grimm, along with Justin Gard and the head coach. And it's time for our weekly edition of Stretch 4.
Oh, you didn't tease it.
No.
You didn't tease it. I didn't know that it was.
Always at the bottom of the hour, Gardzi.
Oh, okay. I know you have really fond memories of growing up as the son of
the Celtics coach. Let me interrupt this.
That was a good wind-up.
I'm in a good mood.
Yeah.
You're a bad mood. You're bringing this
For first-time listeners, maybe someone just moved into town, explain what the Stretch 4 is.
I'm still not quite clear on what it is. It's basically four questions that have nothing to do with anything. I think
We don't have a Stretch 4 on the roster.
No. You don't. You have undersized fours. Should we call it the undersized four?
Yeah.
The underwhelming four.
The undersized four.
So that would fit the questions better as well.
Absolutely underwhelming.
We'll call it the underwhelming four. What was it like to a place that you have such great fond memories of as the son of the Celtics coach going back to Boston last night?
Well, it was not a lot of good memories. You know, but
I know.
I consider Boston home. And, you know, I've got a lot of good friends there. And, you know, I had some time after a shoot around. To kind of go downtown a little bit. I took an Uber down there, just walked around, and more so to get some exercise and some fresh air. I love Boston. There is a special place. I actually thought if my dad would have waited one more year, he was so impatient, if he would have waited one more year, I thought they could have actually won next year. You know, but college guys going to pros, that's a hard jump. But it's good to go back there. I mean, it's, you know, it's different, totally different than here. You know, polar opposites.
Yeah.
But it was fun to get down there for sure.
What do you remember about that time where you said, I mean, that was like really the first time that you probably ever saw your dad like really struggle not to, I mean, he's the top of the world, right? At Kentucky and all those things. Even as the Knicks coach, did a good job playoff team.
Yeah, it probably shaped me the way that I deal with criticism, because you could be celebrated so high one day by, you know, one faction of people, and even going to the Celtics, you know, he's anointed, and then you lose, and then it changes. You become a bad person, an awful coach. And so I do think that, and then he goes from the Celtics to Louisville, where Louisville used to hate him, and the Kentucky people who revered him now hated him, and the Louisville people who hated him now loved him. So for me, I do think that I have an even keelness to me about criticism.
How old were you in that stretch?
High school.
Yeah, so 14, 15, 16?
Yeah. Yeah, I also have my own life that I was kind of doing, too.
You did?
Yeah, which is weird.
That's interesting. That's weird. Well, we're going to get to your dad's impact on the Washington win, because I saw him on TV.
Yeah, he really helped.
It looked like Madison Square Garden again.
So, yeah, to answer your point, not quite revolved around as much as you think. I had my own friends and things like that. But I do think that that span of being involved in sports definitely shaped the way that I deal with this stuff. Because, you know, he did not handle losses well. He'll be the first one to tell you. I got up today, and I told you my wife was sick, but I drove all three of my kids to school. I'm not going to let it, you know, impact my home life. That's important to me, to be a great husband and to be a great father, regardless of wins and losses. Like, that'll work itself out.
Well, you kind of went where I wanted to go next, because I like that you do this, where you bring Jack into the locker room and you say, hey, it's my guy Jack, and here he is, and you send pictures that a lot of us can relate to, because I have three young kids as well. But I'm curious, with your upbringing. Yeah, I have three kids, girl. Did you know that? I rarely that talk yet. About it. I'm hesitant to talk about it. But, you know, you came from a family with a head coach as a dad. Like, was there ever any hesitation of bringing the kids into the public eye as well? Or just what's your thought process on that?
You know, you want them to be a part of it. I'm in a fun phase. Like, every morning when I drive the kids to school, we have this roster sheets that we give out at games, but for some reason it's in my car. And this morning, Ava and Jack are playing trivia. Who's number 21 and who's number 30? And they're asking me, and I don't even know the guy's number, so I'm like, I don't know. And they're, you know, sort of like fighting back and forth. But yeah, I want them to be a part of it. The games are hard because they're late a lot of times. But on the weekends, I want to bring them around the guys. Our players are awesome with the kids.
Seemed like it,
really, really good. The other day, Ava brought a friend to practice, so they didn't want to come into the film session. But I go to walk in the film session. Of course, my guy Jack's right behind me, so I'm like, all right, sit down. And he sits in between Daniel and Jarvis, those guys are so good with them. And I just think it humanizes everything and everybody. And I do think sometimes people forget, for a basketball coach, that we're human beings too, you know, and that we've got a family that we're trying to support, and we're trying to fight every single day for them. We're not just a win or a loss. You know, so I need that support system, around me at all times, because it can be a lonely world that you live in as a head coach, and, your family's going to be there. I mean, and this isn't a knock on fans or friends or whatever, but they're going to turn.
It'll ebb and flow.
Wind blows, right?
Yeah.
They're going to celebrate you when you win, and they may not crush you, but they'll probably ignore you when you lose, sometimes because they don't know how to handle it. Your family's always going to be there. Whenever you win a game, I probably get 60 texts. Whenever you lose a game, you don't get any texts. You may get one or two, you know, mouthing off a little bit. but for the most part, nobody reaches out, not because they're trying to be mean. They're just like, they'll give them the space.
Sure.
Your family's always going to be there. And I think growing up in this profession as a son, I get that part of it.
So Jack's pretty into it at this point?
Really, really into it. What I love now is, because there's always sporting events on my TV, you know, who's winning is a big one. Who's the white team? Who's the gold team?
How old is he?
Jack's four.
Four now.
Zoe's, you know, not into it, probably because she's two. And Ava's not really a whole lot dialed in either because she's not really interested in it. So it is exciting that they're kind of getting into it now.
Lastly, you sent out a photo on Thanksgiving with some fairly impressive, I don't know, dance moves or something. Was that Instagram or Twitter or social? I can't remember what it was.
Oh, Instagram.
And you said this is how the Patinos do Thanksgiving. What was that exactly that we were looking at?
Well, my mother, because I don't know if anyone knows, I have a mother, too, because it always seems to be about my dad, but you guys never ask about her. That's okay, though. Is a big...
Stretch 4 next week is all about
his Yeah. Nobody will listen.
Tell me about her.
She is a prototypical New Yorker.
Yeah.
She loves to dance. She's kind of like the life of the party. And so she was trying to explain to Jack, you know, we're my second favorite baseball team is the Yankees. My first is the Twins.
Very shrewd answer.
Thank you.
Very smart. Believable,
but,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
sincere.
You know, growing up, because they're from New York, you'd go to Yankee games, and they used to always sing the YMCA, you know, the grounds crew people. So for whatever reason, my mom was teaching Jack how to do the YMCA. And so she's playing the music, and they're dancing, and it was hilarious. And she didn't notice, but I was filming her. And because my mom actually is a huge Instagram person. It's crazy. I mean, she is all over it. So I really did it to embarrass her. But yeah, no, we sat there like everybody else. We watched all the football games.
Yeah.
My wife cooked an unbelievable meal. And that was really it. We were all pretty tired coming back from the West Coast.
Well, I would think so. Yeah, I would think so. What's the go-to for you? Like, what's the one Thanksgiving food you have to have? I don't think I've ever asked you that.
People
need to know.
I'm dying to find out.
Yeah, I would say I love stuffing. I love stuffing.
Good man.
Big fan of stuffing. Cranberry, what is that? I'm not
cranberry sauce?
Yeah, cranberry sauce I could do without.
Nope, out.
Squash I don't really like a whole lot. I could do turkey, stuffing, and gravy and just
that's it.
Be really, really happy. But it was a fun night. I mean, that was a great trip. And we've got to just kind of get over the clunker that we threw last night and continue to get that positive momentum going again.
Follow up to Guardsy's underwhelming four. So you mentioned that Ava's maybe not that interested yet. Zoe's too young. Jack, though, is starting to catch on. Will you, if he continues an interest, will you encourage him to try to get in, well, first playing as a young guy, but if he wants to be a coach? And did your dad, I mean, at what point did you say, hey, Dad, I want to, you know, get into this too?
Well, there's certain. So when I went to college, my senior year of high school, I was in Boston, and I met a high school coach named Mike Hart at a camp that I was working. And he asked me, he's like, "Well, where are you going to college next year?" And I was like, "I'm going to go to Providence College." I probably could have played like D3, but I just kind of wanted to go to a, you know, bigger school or whatever you want to call it. And but I wanted to be around the team. And I thought about maybe helping out with Providence, but I met Mike Hart, and Mike Hart said, well, I'm a prep school coach. How about you be my assistant? I need an assistant coach. So I said, you know what? That'll be cool. Cause I wasn't sure. And listen, coaching is great, but there's a lot that's not great about coaching. Mm-hmm. And it's not that, cause there's a lot that you don't do that has anything to do with coaching. I guess it's my point.
Like this.
Yeah, no, but this is a fun part of it. But there's just so many things that you do that have nothing to do with coaching. So I thought I wanted to be around basketball. I wanted to be around a team. I wanted to be kind of in a locker room in a team setting. And that just things that I really felt comfortable with. But, you know, like any pro coach or college coach is going to tell their kid, like, listen, the media scrutiny is hard. The fan scrutiny, it's going to wear you down. The difference between a win and a loss is really not as big as people think. You know, so your son has to understand that. That's really, really hard to deal with. So my dad never pushed me into it. What I did was I went for 2 years when I was in college, and I was an assistant coach for a high school team. And every day, not only did it kind of keep me out of trouble, but it kept me involved in the game. And I loved it, and I learned how to coach, learned that, you know, you can do it different ways. And then I was fortunate to meet Tim Welsh at Providence College, and he said, hey, why don't you be our video guy? And, you know, he was awesome to me, and we had a good team there. And then it just snowballed. I met with the assistant coach at Providence College, knew somebody who was the head coach at College of Charleston. He's like, hey, got your job, because I needed a job. Mm-hmm. He's like, got you a job at College of Charleston, doesn't pay well. You're going to do everything from laundry to class checks to scheduling. A, Charleston's maybe the most amazing city, second to Minneapolis, St. Paul. So it'd be three. And then I was like, done. But I went down there, awesome experience. But like, it was kind of interesting because I was in Boston. I've been together with Jill for a couple of years. We weren't married or anything, but, you know, I moved away from her. You know, may or may not have been a little bit excited about that, you know.
But you know, we're on the radio right now, right?
No, but yeah. But I wanted to be able to get away a little bit.
Right.
And but Jill loved Charleston so much. She was down there so much, which is awesome, too. But so then I'm there for about 3-4 months. I don't know the exact thing. And I get a call from Ron Everhart, who I had met. And he said, hey, I have an assistant coaching job open in October. It was like right before the season. So I went from two flights away from Jill to two T stops in the train from Jill, because she was living in Brookline and in Boston. So it was like we were right back together, but it was awesome to do that. And then it just, you know, Northeastern for a year, being in Boston, which was awesome. And then, you know, Jill, we got engaged, moving me to Pittsburgh, Duquesne, and then it was Louisville too. Florida for two, Louisville for one, and then FIU, and now here. So it's just interesting. I, you know, your question, the long way around your question, but it's very, very hard to coach in today's world. You can say ignore it, comes with the territory. I think there's so much information out there about all of us, and everybody knows what you make. You make so much money, so if people feel like it's fair game to criticize you, and you know, they say, well, that comes with the territory. I mean, I'm told all the time, you have to do this. And I kind of say, why? And they're like, well, because you make this. And I'm just curious about that. But, you know, see, whoever gets in this profession needs to understand that. But it has substantially changed from social media.
Yeah.
Social media has given a lot of people voices. And I'm not trying to say they shouldn't have voices, but we're all listening to the voices without wondering who the voices are. And that's impacted our job pretty normally. But, you know, when I get criticized, like, you know, it bothers your wife, which is normal. I always tell her, who's immune to this? Brad Stevens is getting crushed right now.
Right.
In Boston, I turned on the TV when we got in late, and there was some, you know, guy in the news just crushing Brad Stevens. without a doubt, every time the New England Patriots lose, Bill Belichick gets criticized.
Somebody says it's time for him to be up.
Yeah. Doesn't have a good relationship with Tom Brady. And I'm not comparing myself to Brad Stevens and Bill Belichick, but my point is everybody's dealing with it. So you have to be able to, you got to be able, I don't think you could ignore it, the criticism. I really don't. It's going to get to you, or it's going to get to your wife, or it's going to get to your brothers. And without fail, somebody says something bad about you. Hey, don't read Twitter. And they're like, ah, now I want to read Twitter. Yeah, don't read the paper. And you're like, but you have to be able to, I don't think you can ignore it. You got to be able to deal with it and take it for what it is.
So if Jack wanted to coach, he's a senior, it's a ways away, but says, hey, what can you help me out here? And what would you say? Okay, somehow help him out?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm not going to tell I've seen too many parents tell their kids what to do. You know, the beauty of being a coach is we see every parent thinks their kid is special. that's without a doubt. That's number one on the list. And I've seen some parents really, really pressure their kids, and it's hurt them. I mean, there's a lot of really good parents out there too. For me, it's going to be whatever they want to do. You know, just follow your heart. Be passionate about it. You know, put everything into it. Just understand what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. And every level that you go up, that scrutiny is harder and harder and harder.
Right. All right. Good underwhelming four there, guys.
That was a very deep underwhelming four. I'm overwhelmed at this point the end of it, but there we go.
Well, let's catch our breath. We'll take a break. We'll wrap the show up. It's Gopher Basketball Weekly with Richard Pitino from Learfield.
When the land's packed on the...
Welcome back. It's our final segment, Gopher Basketball Weekly with Richard Pitino. We want to thank Mike Tackett, our producer. Aaron Cummins is our on-site engineer. Dan Riesig in charge of communications. Mike Grimm along with Justin Gard, the head coach, Richard Pitino. It's a Friday night basketball game for Minnesota, sitting at 5-1. Oklahoma State, the Cowboys, 4-2. 9 o'clock is the tip-off from U.S. Bank Stadium. We'll take air here on the network at 8:30 with the pregame show from the Viking Stadium. There are tickets still remaining for that game. Ticketmaster is where you want to go to do that. Ticketmaster. Guardsy, what do you have?
Oh, it's my turn again?
It's your turn.
I just did the underwhelming four. I think as of yesterday, there were six or seven teams in the Big Ten that were top 25. You guys were right out of the mix. Is that about what you expected, you know, going through the first month or so?
I don't think there should ever be rankings in the first 2 months.
I know you love rankings talk. That's why I brought
I think it's stupid. I think that come January 1, but I think it's, again, with the way that they're laying this whole thing out, it's huge for the Big Ten to get really good non-conference wins because it helps your strength of schedule. So I'm happy that we're sitting at 5-1. I know a lot of teams, I think some are undefeated. I haven't looked too much at it. But I'm not surprised. I think we've got, it's a great conference. I even think last year we had four in the tournament. I think if we stayed healthy, we'd have probably been five. Nebraska didn't make it because our win was not a quality win for them. That would have been six.
Which at the time we were ranked 11th.
No doubt. Yeah. So it's all our fault again. But you know, I do think there's something to that. So I think we'll bounce back big. You know, some really good coaches, some really smart players in the league.
You mentioned four last year made it. I saw a discussion last week on one of the shows, BTN or something, the Talking Heads, discussing could 10 teams from the Big Ten make it this year? And then when I look at the standings, I think legitimately there's 12 teams out of the 14 that are saying if we play our game, we can make the tournament. So it's going to be every night. It's going to be a dogfight in the league.
Yeah, again, a tournament talk in November is not quite for me, but you know, it's you got to talk about something. But at the end of the day, I think there are some good teams. There are always going to be some really good coaches. The ingredient that you have to follow, you have to win at home. You know, so it's so important when we do have Nebraska that we have a great crowd and you're loud.
It's next week already.
Which is crazy. And that's kind of what we talked about in the non-conference. Like, none of us are going to be real good right now, but we just got to find a way to get a win.
The net rankings came out, which is replacing the RPI. So speaking of rankings, I'm sure you weren't a huge fan of seeing that, but people were losing their minds yesterday. Loyola Marymount was ranked, 10th or something, and Ohio State was one. But you pay, I'm assuming, no attention to that now, but eventually that's going to be the important ranking in the country.
You know, again, it's I think it's cool. It's a good idea, but it's too early for it, you know. But I do think transparency about how they're deciding certain things is a good idea, because there's a lot of confusion every year. I mean, there were certain teams that finished, I think, second USC. They didn't make the tournament last year, and there's teams that are towards the bottom, I believe Oklahoma. You know, so it is good transparency, but it's just too early for all of it right now.
All right. Well, hey, a good job on your first show this year.
Anything else you want to add? Any other thoughts before we go?
I feel like we neglected Zoe talk a little bit.
Yeah. Next week
and your mom. Yeah. Underwhelming four.
Underwhelming four
we'll
topics
get there
for next week. We appreciate everyone who listened, and we'll be back next Tuesday. We'll talk to you Friday when Oklahoma State and the Gophers play at 9 at U.S. Bank Stadium. This has been Gopher Basketball Weekly with Richard Pitino from Learfield.